Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we're back in the Cafe Book Club. Woo-hoo! We are going to be doing a book called The Resilience Factor, 7 Keys to Finding Your Inner Strength and Overcoming Life's Hurdles. And, I'll go ahead and get my wonderful, lovely co-host, Miss Amy Frost. How are you tonight, Amy?
I'm just kind of lost. I don't know what my RQ is. I'm not sure what an RQ is. What is an RQ?
An RQ? That's like when you go to Dairy Queen, instead of a DQ, it's an RQ.
Is it like a jelly? A jelly bar?
No. It's off the range. It's like range Q. No, okay. No, actually, RQ is a really interesting.
RQ.
I was thinking of Star Wars with, yeah, exactly. Or you know, so anyway, a lot of different directions we could go with that. So this book, right off the bat, is just like all the books we get. Like I shared in the in intro, if you got drawn in from my introduction on here, I was little Amy and I were going, I was visiting Amy, and we walked into a Barnes & Noble, and I didn't even go through the double doors, and I saw this book. And I looked at it, and I go, this is going to be a great book for the cafe. And Amy was like, okay. We grabbed
you know, you can't argue with Robin
because
she's got
it.
Lots of RQ. She's RQ'd
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that was part of my RQ. Yeah. And just to get everybody like, what the heck is an RQ? It's your resilient quota. And we'll get into that before the end of the show for sure. With the resilience of things and being able to just look at all the different components. And in future shows with this book, because it's going to be getting into the 7 keys really ultimately for being able to overcome, hurdles and just different kinds of different things that come in front of us in our life. And boy, I was able to go to look at different stuff that one of the authors, Karen Rivich is her last name, from PhD, and Andrew Shutty, PhD, are the authors. And if you get a chance to pick this book up, it's really inexpensive. You can pick one up probably for about $8. Boy, is it packed full of, well worth your $8, let me tell you. Go ahead, Amy.
Well, let's say the title of the book, since we haven't. It's The Resilience Factor, 7 Keys to Finding Your Inner Strength and Overcoming Life's Hurdles. So I'd like to posture this before we hyper dive in. Let's talk about who is this book for. So I want you to sit for a minute, everybody listening, and now and in the future. Boy, that's kind of an RDD2. There we go. How many times in the last week have you said to yourself, I can't take this stress anymore? Or why do I keep overreacting to such little things? Or even, is this all there is to life? Or maybe things are going just okay, but you keep thinking that something's missing. Maybe this book's for you.
I think that's just about everybody.
They define resilience. It's simple and it's just right to the point. It says resilience is the ability to persevere when things go awry.
Yeah, doesn't that sound like our present circumstances for sure? Yeah.
Well, that's just life. If you're living, stuff's happening.
Yeah, life and with all things, life is going to be including some adversity. And really, that's what this first book in the introduction talked about is really, this book actually came from when the authors were basically doing their postgraduate work. And when they really got into work, what happened was is they were doing research and their desire was to help kids in school that were depressed or had anxiety issues. And come to find out, what really was the thing that really turned it around for a lot of these kids with those symptoms was finding that all of these kids, once they learned a few skills, which is part of these 7 keys, have this just resilience within themselves. Mm-hmm. So So it's really exciting that there's something that, we, you know, that can be done and, you know, is like, you know, there are some of those preconceived notions that, you know, you're born with a level of resilience you're going to have in life and, you know, depending on what you've got going on, you know, this is the best it's going to get. And that's really their finding, which is wonderful, that that's just not true. And that, you know, since 9/11, there's been just this new resurgence of wanting to be able to look at resilience in just a totally different way. It's gotten a very different perspective than it used to have. And I'm really glad that these guys have really, you know, dived in deep and done a lot of research with what works and doesn't work. And, you know, some of these factors have to really do with just emotional components, looking at your beliefs, looking at a lot of dynamics of, you know, just basically how things are with yourself. And it's exciting to know that we can flourish and thrive even when there's a sense of adversity. And, you know, really there's people, you know, everybody's heard of these people. I'm thinking of Tony Robbins for one. You know, these people that just have these situations. And the adversity actually is something that fuels them to success or fuels them into moving and into different areas of themselves that they didn't even know they had. Just like, you know, coming to the end of myself, I tapped into my resilience and just, you know, exploded into other things that I can accomplish in my life. So, you know, we all have our levels of what that looks like for ourselves. But the good news is that we can bolster and, you know, bolster this resilience to brand new levels. And, you know, one of the things, too, that's going to be a very important component with this book is that you can have real-time resilience. And we're going to be talking about that, too, when we get into the keys. So anything else you want to add with that, Aim?
Yeah, you know, they talk about post-traumatic stress, something that they also talk about, and research is binding out here, that they call post-traumatic growth. And, like, to what your point, what you were just talking about, that when stuff happens, you have an opportunity to grow from that and to expand. And one thing they talk about here, you know, that everybody needs resilience and that there's more than 50 years of scientific research that has proven, they think that resilience is the key to success at work and satisfaction in life. I don't think it's the key, but I think it certainly is really important. And as we talk about this, I know my work with the Humanitarian Committee at the ASAP, Association of Comprehensive Energy Psychology, I think there's some parts of this that I'm hoping we can add from other things that we've learned in the great book clubs that we've done and bringing on some of these amazing experts. So it'll be fun to look at how they look at resilience and bring new stuff to it, because this has been around for many years and it's a wonderful thing. And I think we can bring some new things to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, and along with this is something that we're going to be going back to over and over again to is a thinking style, you know, thinking in a way that, you know, it's like looking through a certain lens in the way you view the world, and that everybody has their own lens and the way they color it and being able to interpret events in your lives. One of the things that's really great about these different keys is it's going to be help you to actually being able to have a new filter that you look through to different things and kind of catch yourself in ways, because, you know, everybody's got certain elements within themselves that already are healthy and strong in the way they look at stuff. And the good news is that, you know, some of the areas where we might not be so strong, we definitely can catch those things and be able to change those things and have it be something that actually can help us to have a more balanced sense of being able to handle adversities and just different things that are coming up in our lives. So it's just a really, really exciting thing to have all these different things that are with these keys that we're going to have. So it's just really good. Go ahead, Amy.
Well, and resilience is a set of skills. That's the good news. Like you're saying, it is, you know, it isn't you either have it or you don't have it. It's and they talk about it being a continuum, that no matter where you fall in that continuum today, you can increase your ability to rise to tomorrow's challenges with resilience tomorrow. So, no, there's like, you know, and we're going to talk about, they have an assessment here in the book that I think is really cool. Both Robin and I took it. And, you know, it gives you something to kind of bounce off of. And I had an article in Nursing Magazine a couple million years ago, and that was about, the title was How to Build Your Hope Skills. And I co-authored that. And I believe that myself and our author, co-author, what we thought was that hope was a set of skills and that you could build them. And that's the same kind of premise with resilience and the tools that they're providing here, that you can master them, and you're going to fall down some days, and that's okay. You'll have the skills to pick yourself back up. And I want to point my dear husband, Ross. He, in his class ring, his college ring, he has the word Trostane engraved inside, and that's German. He's a German language major. It means in spite of. While he was going to college, two of his brothers died in accidents, and all kinds of crazy things happened. And that's kind of how he looks at life, and knowing that he has that inside his ring really helps him to stay in that in spite of, because stuff is going to happen. It's just part of being alive. It's not what happens to you, but it's how you choose to accept what happens and how you go forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So some of the dynamics that come from, they're looking at the fundamentals of resilience, and they did a lot of studies. They were looking through a lot of search situations where there would be kids growing up in like poverty situations. There would be divorce, just different kinds of really difficult situations. There could be drugs and alcohol within the marriage and things like that that were affecting the kids. And so through divorce and things like that, the kids would wind up being abandoned or just not really cared for. They weren't getting the attention and just regular guidance that they needed, just because the parents were going through their own trials of situations with their life choices. So, when looking at that, that's something that really helped through the studies to look at a sense of, especially from childhood up, looking at, well, it's those things in resilience about overcoming the obstacles when it comes to sense of childhood trials and tribulations. And then being able to steer through the adversities of the everyday living. How are you doing your coping skills? How are you using some of the tools? One of the other things, one of the keys of being resilient is, do you reach out for people and ask for help? There's a really fascinating chapter that we'll be talking about with some of the things about what people do and don't do. Because depending on your skill sets when it comes to and having it and being able to reach out for people, you've got some beliefs about, if I reach out, it's a sense of weakness, or it's a sense of I'm too shy, or I'm not going to get what I need. And so we're reluctant to hold ourselves back. So that's just a taste of some of the things that actually, get covered in that chapter. So it's just really fascinating, to be able to kind of step back, just like we get in getting in the love that you really want. Some of these little ahas about, how we've had these beliefs and different kinds of circumstances in our lives that really have kind of made us who we are or not, depending on how we've been able to move through those situations. And then, we've got the major setbacks of, job situations, marriage and death, and even having illnesses and things like that that really can affect us through our life that are going to be something about, looking about, who are you and how, what you're made out when it comes to, being able to step up and do something, or kind of backing down because it's just something we don't believe within ourselves. And that's a real key element within the resilience, is about what you believe you can do or not do when it has a sense of being able to be resilient. So go ahead, Amy.
Well, when looking at chapter one, how about we kind of briefly walk through the seven keys, the seven skill sets that they talk about?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Frame it. How about I'll just, read them one at a time, and anything you want to jump in, because we want to do through chapter two, so we don't need to spend a lot of time on it. But I want you to put your, just kind of get the seed, plant those seeds of the seven areas that we're going to be talking about, and that'll be in part two. We're going to be doing part one tonight, and a little bit, we're going to do chapter three and dive into part two next week. So number one is learning your ABCs. And they said what that's about is, when confronted with a problem or challenge, are you ever surprised by how you react, or wish you could have responded differently? So that's number one. Number two is avoiding thinking traps. When things go wrong, do you automatically blame yourself? Do you blame others? Do you jump to conclusions? Number three, detecting icebergs. And we've kind of talked about this, and we'll talk certainly more about it, is that unconscious. We talked about unconscious bias a little bit, and we're going to be talking about those unconscious held beliefs. They talk about everybody having deeply held beliefs about how people in the world should operate and who they are and want to be. So it'll be really fun to really start wading through that. And what are those
beliefs? Yeah, I'm looking forward to that,
Doctor. Yeah, me too. And so challenging beliefs is number four. A key component of resilience is problem solving. And I'm a big fan of critical thinking. I used to teach critical thinking classes for University of Phoenix. And, you know, I really believe very few people think about how they're thinking. And I'd have to say how I like to identify myself is that I'm an optimistic critical thinker. I'm going to come to the positive point of it, whatever it is, but I'm also going to be critically thinking through how do I make sense of this? What am I going to do with this? Really, what are the options? What's really happening?
Yeah, and I'll let people go, what? Is that possible? Yeah, okay.
I hope so. We're going to find out, right?
Exactly.
And number five is putting
it
in perspective.
Looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you get caught in what if thinking in which you turn every failure or problem into a catastrophe? And an exercise we used to do in my master's in psychology, they call it awfulizing and catastrophizing. And what they would have us do is take a problem and just make it go on and on and on until you just made it so it was so insane you'd start laughing. So I think that's a really good technique. You know, as you get to your point, you can take anything and making a mountain out of a molehill, as they say, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, certainly things can go wrong, but if you live in that state, you'll drive yourself insane. Number six, calming and focusing. Do you ever feel overwhelmed by stress? Do your emotions come out so quickly and fiercely that you can't seem to think straight? So I'm hoping we'll be able to talk about energy psychology there. I'm not sure what they have, but I'd really look forward to how that marries with what they're doing. And then last but not least is number seven, real-time resilience. They talk about there are times when counterproductive thoughts make it hard for you to stay engaged in the moment. No, that never happens. Does it happen to you, Robin?
Oh, no, never.
Uh-uh. I don't think I think this is a really important point. You don't need to use every skill every day to see improvement in your resilience. So they said, in fact, many people find dramatic changes in their resilience after mastering and using just two or three skills. So there you go, 2 out of 7.
Yeah.
You know? So, again, we'll just kind of go through the process and know that you'll have these podcasts that you can keep using them. And it would be really one of the reason Robin and I created these podcasts was that you could do them with us real time, or you can do them yourself, you know, later whenever it works for you. And we really recommend you get a group, get a journal, get a group, and work through it together, because it's really a process that you can kind of evaluate where am I at right now and where do I want to be and what can I do about it with really any of these wonderful books that have come to the cafe.
Yeah, and then ultimately what I really love is that, you know, resilience is about being able to transcend with having things renewed with a meaning and purpose, and to be open to new experiences and challenges that can apply resilience to be able to reach out so you can achieve all that you're capable of. And I think that's just really, you know, wonderful. Because, I mean, you know, the basis of this book came from the University of Philadelphia, and they are all about positive psychology. It's actually the beginnings of that whole research came from them. So, you know, ultimately, you know, this book is kind of interesting because the first chapters or so, you know, you're reading about all these tough situations that kids are going through and how they're using it for their research and stuff. And when I first started reading the book, I was like, man, it's kind of a bummer. You know, seeing this adversity that's going on. But, we can't really have one without the other. So it's basically, you know, who am I and, you know, how I'm built to be able to be moving through all these different things. So I think it's going to be really insightful and a lot of ahas, I think, that will come out of it. So one of the things that they work through with all these different ways is, you know, being able to, like you said, in Chapter 2, there's a questioning that you can go through. And, again, Amy and I have done that. And later on in the book, once they present a lot of the different stuff, you actually have an opportunity to take it again to see how you changed. So that'll be curious. So we'll, you know, talk about that for a couple minutes. But it looks at your intelligence, and it also looks at your emotional intelligence. So, you know, we're all wired in different ways. We all react to things in a different way. And I think it's really great that a lot of these different researchers have looked at, you know, just those different aspects of ourselves, you know, whether it's an intellectual or an emotional way that we look at it, and even with the with looking at it on an intuitive level. And I love that, that there's a sense of intention in the way, you know, you be able to walk through and take some of these things and be able to look at them. And through the RQ, again, which is the resilience intelligence, really, or your resilience quotient, being able to see how you respond to all these things. And they're very, very, one of the really important components for this book is they want to make sure that, you know, you're getting these skills and it's not when you just read about them, you're going to be able to practice them. Just like they said, you know, you can take out of all the seven, you could use maybe two out of just learning one or two of them. You can actually have that into something that really can benefit your life and make a difference. So it's something that they really want you to have a takeaway, that's something you can practice every day and have it be something where you're seeing some positive results and really helping you to see that, you know, positive change and strengthen a lot of the different aspects of yourself. You want to go into chapter two, Amy?
Yeah, and what I'd like to recommend in chapter two is where they have the assessment. So Robin and I were playing around, and we believe we found it online. So you certainly can take it online, but what we did, just, you know, I recommend, you know, just go to Walmart or whatever. You can just get a bound notebook. It doesn't have to be expensive, but get a book, to journal of some kind, notebook of some kind, to start, you know, to do this work. So what I did, I'm not sure exactly how your process was, I just got a piece of paper and I put numbered 1 through 56 and then answered the questions, and it's on a scale of 1 through 5, 1 being not at all, 2 sometimes or somewhat true, 3 moderately true, 4 usually true, and 5 very true of me. So you answer those, and then there's a space where for each of the different areas, and we'll walk through those, each of the different areas, they will have you take the different numbers, and then you add them together, and there's a positive total and a negative total. And then you take the positive and minus the negative total, and that will equal your score. So anything else you want to say about that before we kind of dive into what our scores were?
Not too much, I don't think. I took it, and then Amy took it, and I thought it was kind of an interesting thing where we winded up being with each other. So the first one that they have you, because they basically give you a little chart area where you basically fill in. They have the numbers and then have your positive and negative totals that you put in there, and then you get your create your average. The first one they wanted to talk about was emotional regulation and resilience. And that's your ability to be able to stay calm under pressure. So I was average.
Well, I was average too. I was an 11, which is pretty much smack dab, you know, because between 6 and 13 is average. So I guess a little bit on the high side of average. And do you want to talk about what your number was?
I was 9.
9. Ha-ha, winning. Okay.
I don't think there's any winning or losing. It's a sense of awareness. Okay.
I'm calmer than you are. Okay. No, not
yeah,
winning.
It's kind of
okay,
funny
no,
when you
I'm
take the
winning.
Steps. You know, and again, you know, you put 1 through 5, and I almost feel like you don't want to use 3 because 3 is
the
middle of the road, and it's not really true
have.
Or false. And I think that's kind of like, because if I to take it, when I take the next one, I'm only going to allow myself to do 1 or 2 or 4 or 5.
Well, okay, so that's a decision you're making. So let's not make that for everybody.
I'm making. But that way I'm not like, to me, that's kind of a cop-out if you say 3. It's like, you know, it's a way of being able to really look at this stuff.
So, incorrect answer. All right, here we go. So now the next one is impulse control. And let me see.
Resilience.
Based on Dan Goleman's work, Emotional Intelligence.
And that's a fascinating
thing
too.
Eat our marshmallow right away, or I'll get more marshmallows if I wait. You know.
Right.
So that testing. So let me see. So I was a 9 on that, which is above average. So I guess I can wait for my marshmallows. I'm not a big marshmallow fan anyway, so but that's okay. How about you, Rob?
Yeah. See, I was a 6.
Okay, so.
So it was just on the lower end of impulse control. I guess if I need ice cream, I kind of can talk myself out of it. Well, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I thought it was interesting. You could have a zero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
for me,
you wouldn't go there
at
all. Yeah, you wouldn't go at all if you were like totally somebody who controls their impulses. You wouldn't have really anything on that other side. And like, I don't think there's any way you could have zero because they didn't give you zero as an option when it was the 1 through 5.
Interesting. Well, and for me, I think probably in some ways that's a negative, having my impulse control so high, because I really monitor myself probably more than I'd like to. And you tend to be more spontaneous than I am, which I would say is more of a plus. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's just like you're saying, it's just data and what you say we do with it. And then the next one is optimism.
Mm-hmm.
They say optimism. They believe that things can change for the better. They have a hope for the future and believe they can control the direction of their lives. So that makes sense. So optimism. I was average. I was 5.
I was average too. I was out of 0 out of 8, and I was out of 8. I got 6.
I got 6 also. So nope.
Okay.
I got 5. So I mean, just a little bit. So 6 is a high average. So I'm a little bit behind.
Yeah,
that
was a high average. I would have said that about myself anyway. You know, so you believe me, you can things can change for the better. Being optimistic about things and in the future.
Yeah,
so.
For me, I can see me because I would say I'm more of an optimistic, critical thinker. Not that you're not, but I just see you as a little more optimistic. I guess you are a little bit, but I guess I would have guessed you higher than that. So that's kind of interesting. So the next one is causal analysis and resilience. And it says causal analysis is a term we use to refer to people's ability to accurately identify the causes of their problems. And I was average. And only a 3, which I find is good, you know, because I think for me, how I answered the questions was I'm really not one that sits around and thinks about why things happened. I'm more focused on where are we at right now and what are we going to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if I was looking at it from a process perspective, it would probably be a higher number.
Yeah. And I was a 6 in that as well, which is a little bit high.
So, because I tend to be, you know, not caught up in the why it happened, but where we're at, where we want to be. But if I look at it more from a, you know, not recreating the same problems, it probably would have been a higher number. So you said yours was a bit a higher average.
Yeah, I was a 6.
Yeah.
I was a high in the average. Yeah.
A high average. And then
high
average. We got 3 minutes left, so I think we can run home here pretty quick. So the next one is empathy. And, of course, that's the shows how well you're able to read another person's cues to their psychological and emotional states. And I was above average.
You were 12.
I was the highest average you can be. So I was right on the cusp of above average.
So, and I was 11.
No, that makes about sense because I think we're both
very high.
We're
both very empathetic, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm 14, so I was really in the high range.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say I'm very empathetic. I'm an empath.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make sense. So
I'm
a couple above the high, you know, where you start out at the empathy. So that makes sense. And I think for you, too, you are, but I think you tend to be more reserved in that area than I am, whereas the impulse control... I'm more than you are. Again, not right or wrong, just, you know, how we function in the world.
Right.
And then the self-efficacy, that's our sense of how effective we are in the world. A 12, 10 is the start of above average. 12 is I'm above average. I really, that's my claim to fame is making stuff happen. And how about you, Ren?
Yeah, I was a 9.
What was your number? Yeah.
9.
So you were a high average.
I was in a high average.
Interesting, because I would see you be a little bit higher than that. So
like I said, you know, that's the reason why when it came to using the 3 as in the 1 through, you know, the 1 through 10 kind of thing, I think it kind of drops me down on some depending on I try to be, I think, a little more conservative on my, instead of making it, because I was thinking, what if I just said totally said yes or no? I am or I'm not. You know what I mean? I think that would make it kind of an interesting thing. So.
Something to think about, you know, again, but you want to make sure you're being true to your answer, not just doing it to avoid a three.
Yeah, that's true.
So, again, and then last but not least is the reaching out. And I was the lowest average you could be, a four. And that is an issue for me. It is challenging for me to reach out. You know, it's a vulnerability
issue.
See,
and I was an eight, so there you go.
Well, yeah, and I think that's what more in with your, and I tend to work remotely, so I don't really see that many people that much, you know, except when I'm working with them, you know, usually helping them do something, so it isn't necessarily about them helping me. Yeah, that's definitely an area I need to work on. So we are there, girl, so that's true in one and two, and kind of figuring out where you're at. You can look online to find that assessment. It really wasn't that hard to do by physically filling it out. And again, I highly recommend getting the book. It's a good starting point to looking at where you are in terms of being resilient. And the next
I just want to encourage everybody to another podcast that I listened to was from Live Happy with podcast. And back in April of this year, Karen had went ahead and did an interview with them. It was really great talking about resilience and just the capacity to be able to look at your adversities and you know, really feeling like you can come from a place where you can nudge yourself into developing those areas of yourself to really think about it. But one thing that she shared that I want to really kind of end the show with is a practice. And she said one of the best things that you can do for resilience is one of the keys of resilience is optimism. And she talked about doing a practice of gratitude and having that working from very positive emotions and really getting yourself seeking to get and doing it every day so you can really literally get hardwired to gratitude. And she said it really enables us to be in this healthy place of when, you know, we do have adversities, we're already working to be grateful and just seeing the small things that we can appreciate every day to really help us to be in this place of just really looking at life from just a new perspective. So, you know, it's that practice of gratitude of, you know, things that I can be grateful for every day. And one of the things that she thought that she said she actually goes to meetings sometimes and she asks everybody that, you know, before they just dive into whatever they're supposed to talk about, you know, she'll ask a question of like, you know, what went well for you in the last from the last time we saw one another? And have everybody share something positive that's happened to them that went well. And I thought that was just a great idea. Yeah, I thought that was just a great idea. Because she said it really puts a positive energy into the room about everybody looking at, you know, that things can go well. And I'm seeking the good. And I'm looking at things that have been positive in my life. Because, you know, if you listen to the media all the time and, you know, depending on, you know, who your circles are, you know, there's a lot of pessimism that's really out there in the world. So if we can really focus on, you know, how a couple friends and you can just basically do a rampage of gratitude and a rampage of good things and just be able to, you know, spend some time with somebody about, you know, we have a phone call and we're only allowed to talk about all the good things that have been happening to us. And, you know, it can be the smallest thing in the world that, you know, you can just stop and pause and be able to look at that person and say, it's good right now because I'm sitting here being able to have this great conversation and being able to visit with you. You know, having that kind of a conversation. So good, Kami, being able to have this conversation with you.
It's good.
Not that there's not going to be things that, you know, we're having to look at and we don't want to pretend. But there, you know, she talked about Mr. Rogers and how he was always saying that, you know, to look for the people that, you know, look for the helpers in your life. And to see the good in any difficult situation. There are people who are seeking to make things better, are looking to see how they can help, to looking to see that there were miracles all around us that really saved the day. So that's something that, you know, being able to, if, you know, we'd always talk about setting intentions when it says, you know, what you're looking for, you're going to find. So I think that's something that's very powerful in the way of being able to say yes to the goodness and knowing that it's here. And being able to ask, you know, help me to see that more and more every day. And I think that's something that really can happen. So excited about the book club, excited about the book, and that I'll be sharing that with you, Wayne.
Me too. I am.
Yeah, yeah. So just to remind all our listeners, you know, pick up the book. Let us know if you take the test, because some kind of an insight that you might have gotten for yourself. and we'll look into jumping in for chapter 3 and 4 next week. And we want to thank you for joining us in the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.